2 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 18, these are God's words. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So very interesting that in this farewell instruction and charge from the Apostle Paul to his protege, his son, and the ministry, the faith, the eldership, he includes this four-verse note of commendation and prayer, not for Timothy, but for Onesiphorus. The idea being both to remind Timothy of that which is commendable before God and encourage Timothy to note it in others, and give thanks to God for others, and pray God's blessing for others. This is one of the duties and tasks of a minister, is that he would, in the public worship, proclaim God's blessing upon others as the ambassador of Christ, and in imitation of and participation in Christ's shepherding ministry, that he would pray God's blessing for others. And so he is noting that which provokes the blessing of God, and in which we are to which we are to respond with thanksgiving and prayer, which encourages us both to do the same things and to recognize the same things. And here it is, the kindness of Onesiphorus to the apostle. First of all, it was a courageous kindness. He says in verse 15, "This you know." The situation in people turning against Paul, people turning against the gospel, therefore, because Paul is the apostle par excellence of the gospel to the Gentiles, this is his great calling and task and joy and message, and people have turned away from him. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. He's going to talk later about how at his first defense, no one stood with him, but everyone abandoned him. In a situation like that, not just when someone has turned against the faithful minister, but when everyone has turned against the faithful minister. And let a faithful Christian, let a faithful father and husband, let a faithful minister know that in God's wise providence and good providence, it may yet be his experience that despite his faithfulness, everyone turns against him. We must be prepared to have Christ only. And the Lord Jesus tells us we must be willing to have Christ only. That if it comes down to father, mother, brother, sister, children being against us, our allegiance to Christ must be so great that it would require the same loss and being abandoned by everyone else in life as if we had hated them. And so when someone is in that situation, it's actually a great act of courage to stand by them, the one on whom everyone has turned, the one against whom everyone speaks and thinks ill of, and you are still willing to identify with them. We, of course, must do this with Christ, but we are also to do this with those who are faithful in the ministry, faithful in the church, and are rejected and abandoned on account of their faithfulness. Apparently, there are a couple whom Paul thought might stand with him, this Phygellus and Hermogenes. But we often find out people's true colors in times of difficulty, and especially when the difficulty includes people abandoning us. So Onesiphorus's kindness was courageous. We need to form our relationships around truths from God, whether the truth is people being made in his image, or even more than that, that the people being renewed in his image, having made a credible profession of faith in Christ, being part of the church. Therefore, we ought to think of them as Christians, and even more, those particular believers whom God has attached to us in our own congregation, and even more in our own ministry, and even more in our own household. And so there are truths and realities about God's providence to us and what God has done in creating people and in redeeming them that ought to form the basis of our care for and kindness toward others. And then, in a context in which someone is being abandoned by everyone else, they actually need the friendship, the support, the encouragement, the help, then, more than at other times. And so if we're thinking from our impulses and the situation happens, we are going to be, those are going to be the situations in which we are least likely to be kind, because the cost is so high and we're operating out of fear or desire to be loved by others. But if we're operating according to the way the scriptures teach us, then those are going to be the situations that we are most driven to be kind, because in God's providence, it is the point at which it is most needed. And so truth-based thinking and living leads to courage, and in this case, courageous kindness. We see here not just the courageous kindness of Onesiphorus, but the covenantal kindness of God, and therefore of Christ's apostle. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Well, the household did not go to Rome and seek out Paul and very zealously, not being ashamed of his chain, but found Paul and refreshed him. And yet we know that God is a covenantal God. He shows kindness to those who are represented in their federal head, in their covenantal head, on account of their head. We were in Adam, and so we are judged in Adam. We sinned in him. We fell with him. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come out of ourselves and out of being in Adam to being in Christ. We become an entirely new person, both by the Spirit's regenerating work and by our covenantal identity, being considered in Christ. And everything God does for the believer is for the sake of Christ, even that initial regeneration, because election was in Christ, and there is a covenant among the persons of the Godhead that includes and considers all those who are chosen in the Son, loved by God in the Son from before the world began, and therefore for whom the Son is sent, therefore for whom the Spirit is sent and poured out, and so forth. And so God has determined to work covenantally in the way that he will redeem from before the world began. And so he operates covenantally in history with households and with churches. Often he treats someone well. He shows a kindness to someone for the sake of his that person's father. Such instance you remember was when David wanted to know if there was anyone left of the house of Jonathan that he could work, that he could interact with in a chesed, covenant love way, that he might be able to show love and mercy and kindness to him for the sake of his father. He located Mephibosheth and so forth. And so when Paul remembers Onesiphorus. He doesn't just pray for God's blessing on the man. He prays for God's blessing upon the household. We are to think in terms of households because God has established that in reality, particularly in his church, and he teaches us to follow him in that. The idea here then is, as Paul prays for and would encourage Onesiphorus, however he may in Rome, yet Onesiphorus' household is still back in Ephesus. And so not only is Timothy, as their minister, to join Paul in praying for blessing upon them in the public worship week by week, pronouncing blessing upon them, but that he would show particular kindness to Onesiphorus' household, because Timothy is, in a spiritual sense, having been adopted in the ministry, as it were, sort of the household of Paul. And finally, on this particular point, Timothy is hoping, we know, or we must conclude, to have a household of his own if he doesn't already, and he should remember that God deals favorably with households for the sake of the husband or the father, and his godliness before the Lord. We know that obedience provokes blessing, and disobedience provokes chastening. Well, when a man is a father or a husband, he is a federal head, a covenantal head, and he should remember, he should live mindfully that he is provoking God one way or another for the sake of his family. So there is the covenantal kindness of Christ as recognized and prayed for by the apostle. And then there's the covenantal kindness of Christians. We've talked about that a lot already. Paul repeating these prayers, he expects Timothy to join Paul in praying both for Onesiphorus and his house. He expects Timothy to not just to pray for Onesiphorus' house, but to minister to them with special consideration and affection, and especially seeking their spiritual good. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord, verse 18, in that day. Not only now, praying for Onesiphorus, of course, to be vindicated in that day, welcomed into everlasting glory in the resurrection and the new heavens and the new earth. But remember, he's still thinking about the mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. When we think about the last day, one of the great things that a believer thinks about is, will my household be there? Will you come to heaven with me? Will you on that day be found in Christ Jesus, having trusted him for yourself, having recognized the guilt of your sin and hoped in him, rejecting your sin, choosing Christ instead, and wanting to be his? Will we enter the new heavens and the new earth, glorified, resurrected body, perfected, holy souls together? That will be a great mercy in that day. There is no more sorrow, sin, sickness, etc. In glory, in the resurrection, for us, when the Lord wipes every tear from our eyes. And yet, how can it be otherwise but that the last great tears would be that someone who belonged to our house would perish, would stick to their allegiance to their sin, to themselves, and not, even with all that Christ has offered, give themselves up to Christ and trust themselves to him, commit themselves unto his glory. And so this is a great prayer on behalf of Onesiphorus by the Apostle Paul. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. May he find mercy from the Lord in that day. And yet it is a ministry that is going to depend, humanly speaking, in large part, on what Timothy does back in Ephesus. Because Paul isn't going back to Ephesus again. And what will the Lord use to preserve spiritually Onesiphorus' wife, Onesiphorus' children and grandchildren? It will be the ministry of the gospel in word and sacrament and prayer in Ephesus, as overseen by Timothy, as overseen by the other elders whom Timothy ordains and leads. And so, just as we have often done, when you have family members who are somewhere else, you care much about them and for their souls, you pray for their minister, that the Lord would help him, that the Lord would keep him faithful. There's a lot at stake in Timothy's ongoing faithfulness, as the apostle has been charging him throughout this letter and is going to continue. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us courage to be kind, especially to those who become unpopular, even and especially among your people. We pray, O Lord, that if ever you bring us into a season where everyone else is abandoning us, that you would both help us by your Spirit to know that Christ stands with us and to have him be enough for us, but that you would also have mercy upon our weakness and give other faithful and godly people the courage to stand with us, even if they must stand alone, as Onesiphorus did for Paul. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to think covenantally, both about others and ourselves, and especially what we might be bringing upon or participating in our own household, particularly for me as the head of this house, and for the boys as they look forward to being head of their own house, not too long from now. We pray, Lord, that most of all, you would have mercy on those who are nearest to us, and especially those with whom we have been part of the same household, that we would all enter glory together in the last and great day, that we would have that confidence that we know whom we have believed, and are persuaded that you are able to keep what we have committed unto you, unto that day, and particularly our loved ones. And so we do pray for the ministries of the word under which our house sits, those who are dear to us, and by way of blood, especially in this world. Have mercy, O God, we ask. Glorify Christ in his church. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen.